Good afternoon. Excuse me, I don't have a huge amount of time. I've got to go to the Cabinet Business Committee about one, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to ask any questions you might have. Broadly at Cabinet, it was a fairly quick Cabinet meeting. We did discuss a number of economic issues, and on top of that, the Minister of Police took the opportunity to brief the Cabinet on tragedy in Auckland the weekend. So that was broadly it. Obviously, leaving for the Pacific Island Forum this afternoon, a number of you are travelling with us. So maybe on that note, just take questions on whatever you have. It was just an oral briefing to give us an update of where things are at, where the inquiries are at, and discussions she'd had with the family personally. Well, at this stage, we're just working our way through the funeral arrangements. Obviously, the government has offered assistance to the family where we can. We're just working our way through that.
Is that financial assistance?
Well, I have asked personally for an indication of what compensation the family is likely to get. Obviously, there are a number of legislative routes which will provide some compensation for them through ACC and the likes. There is some help with the funeral, but my estimate is that wouldn't be likely to cover all of the funeral costs, and so there's some additional support we might be able to give there. And for some idea of precedent, notwithstanding that this is the first time the police have actually inadvertently shot an innocent member of the public, and it's an unusual set of circumstances, so I just asked them for what sort of precedent there is in other tragedies of this nature.
Is there any indication how it would have been?
Look, at this stage, it would be far too premature for me to make any comments before we see, or before those inquiries have taken place. I think it's fair to say that it was a fast-moving situation where the criminal in question, was seriously challenging the life of another New Zealander, and obviously the police clearly felt they need to act quickly. Now, whether that's in or outside guidelines, given all the other things that happen, we don't know at this point.
Are you considering some kind of significant lump sum compensation?
I don't want to prejudge that. What I am saying is let's see what they're entitled to under ACC, what support will be there for the child and the partner that's left behind, and what other costs they'll be recompensed for or reimbursed for. But, let's just see what that is first before we decide what the next move might be. That's right. I mean, look at maybe, and I just want to consider all of the facts, not ruling that out.
On the Pacific Forum, Fiji obviously is a big issue. If there's no commitment by Frank Bainimarama for democratic elections, would you be behind to get the next bill?
Well, again, I don't want to prejudge that. I mean, we're going to Port Moresby tomorrow to have that very discussion. But, at some point, the forum has to consider, the way it will be viewed by the outside world. And if we're not going to be prepared to act, almost certainly the Commonwealth Secretariat will act, because actually it's required to act. I mean, it has a requirement that within 2 years of an illegitimate government, it's forced to act. So, I think we need to obviously be fair about the situation. We need to consider, what the Fijians are saying. But our position from New Zealand's point of view is pretty clear. We want to see a tangible and demonstrated evidence that Fiji is on a pathway to elections.
What's the action that the Commonwealth has to take? Is that two deadlines up?
No, I think it's, my understanding is it's February or March that position gets considered, but looks pretty clear that in theory they would have to be suspended, I think.
So that's remains a definite option tomorrow?
That of course would be an option for the forum then.
Do you know any more about what happened on Friday with Michael Somare apparently postponing the meeting?
I don't really. I mean, other than the fact that he was in communication with Frank Bainimarama. I understand that Mr. Bainimarama had given him an assurance that he would attend a meeting if it was at a later date. And initially Michael Somare thought that that might be a good idea if it could be postponed, but it certainly wasn't a date that would work for either Kevin Rudd or myself, and I just made it clear to Mr. Somare that I thought it was in the best interest of the forum and the process that we proceeded with a date of the 27th, and that's now what's taking place.
So it wasn't so much a matter of him postponing the meeting, but approaching other forum members to see whether or not it could be.
Well, in the conversation that I had with them, I made it pretty clear what I thought was the best date, what the risks were if there was a delay, and what the implications could be if there was a delay, and also just the practicalities that we had quite a number of Pacific leaders who are travelling up to Papua New Guinea with us already in New Zealand or on their way to New Zealand. And it was going to be practically very difficult to accommodate what he wanted to do, which was have a potential change or delay by about 2 weeks.
And what were the implications for a delay with the credibility issue?
Well, the risk is, of course, that Frank Bainimarama doesn't turn up at any date. And, you know, that's a risk, obviously, that Michael Samara had to consider.
Have you called up with the Australian
Yeah, Kevin Rudd raised it on the call I had with him yesterday afternoon, just gave me a brief snapshot of how that would work and offered a full briefing to our Treasury from the Secretary of Treasury, Ken Henry, Secretary of Treasury in Australia. So I've made that clear to Bill English that John Whitehead should give Ken Henry a call. My understanding of the way it works is it's a facility because there is concern that the foreign banks in Australia won't finance a number of large commercial developments in the next 12 months, and that would have a significant impact on the basic underlying value of commercial property in Australia and the amount of construction activity that would take place. Now, from New Zealand's point of view, I suspect, although we need to get a full briefing on this, our position is a little bit different. Effectively, as I pointed out to Kevin Rudd, our foreign banks are the Australian banks, so we don't have a huge amount of construction activity being underwritten and financed by non-Australian foreign banks here in New Zealand. We have some, but it's a much smaller component.
Have you been briefed on the situation in Sri Lanka with the Tamil Tigers and the army taking over the last
12
holes?
No, I haven't. Sorry about that.
And whilst we're on the subject of banks,
yep.
Are you satisfied with the speed at which banks are passing on all the interest rate cuts?
Look, we saw some positive signs about a week to 10 days ago. I suspect that was in anticipation of Alan Bollard acting this week. But certainly we are starting to see that move. But, obviously we would encourage the banks as much as they possibly can to pass through the interest rate cuts that have either occurred or ones that might occur in the future. And in the end, they are the lubricant that will allow the economy to keep operating. And we need them to both be lending but also to be passing on cost savings.
No, saying if it's in anticipation, are you expecting
to
drop the
ACR? Well, in the end, that's for him to decide. He's totally independent in that decision. But, given every economist pretty much on the planet is predicting that's going to occur, I'd imagine it will. Well, it's not just Federated Farmers. I mean, I think there are quite a number in the business community that feel that they haven't necessarily received that benefit fast enough. Now, in fairness to the banks, the official cash rate is not where they are effectively borrowing money at. That's largely being sourced from offshore, and that premium is high. But anything that the banks can do to pass through those cost savings will be appreciated and will help the economy.
Can I ask a quick question about Starbucks? What do you hope?
Yeah, well, my understanding is it's the first meeting to have an opportunity with the trade negotiations, particularly out of the United States, the trade reps, and to get a sense of where the Obama administration might go. So it's a relatively brief meeting. It's also an opportunity, I think, Lamy's there to talk about the way forward ultimately for Doha. I imagine there'll be, notwithstanding that I think Summers said he's not going today, isn't he? Is that right? One of the major Americans are not going, have indicated they can't go. It's too much domestic pressure. But in broad terms, obviously Davos is going to be very important as essentially countries share notes on what is going to be their pathway out of this recession.
So if you wrote away at the moment, do you have
Well, I've already had a number of discussions with Stephen Joyce about that last night, and I think the point to be taken here is that this was highly predictable what actually took place. Now, I accept proposition put out there by the Transport Authority that no road will ever suffice for those absolute extreme, you know, days, and that we don't build them for that. But it's blindingly obvious that if you want to take three lanes into one, you are going to have a problem. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. Now, until we see an extension of at least two lanes or potentially through to Warkworth and ultimately Wellsford, we're going to have a lot of problems. Now, our government has committed, as we did before the election, to the extension of that road through to Wellsford. And I said to Stephen Joyce, I think that's an issue he needs to get on with as quickly as possible. Because even if we could just get to Warkworth, 75% of the traffic gets off at Warkworth.
Didn't Transit effectively set up that traffic jam by inviting
everyone to come in? No, I don't think so. Look, I think it was a good opportunity to have a look at it, and at 3 kilometres or 5 kilometres now, I guess they've got a very good look at it. But, I mean, the basic point here is that, you know, we need these roads to work, and when you've got three lanes going to one, you just move the traffic jam slightly further on. And given the massive capital investment, that makes no sense, but it was highly predictable, and it needs to be resolved. It's unsatisfactory as far as I'm concerned.
Prime Minister, just quickly, Chinese New
Year,
you're not. How does this vote for your year and your opinion?
Well, contrary to the opinion put in the Herald, I was assured yesterday that apparently if you break something, apparently it's very lucky. Lucky they didn't break both arms, I was thinking. But anyway, the basic point here is I'm looking forward to Year of the Ox, apparently born leaders.
And hard workers, apparently.
Apparently. And complete buffoons if they're going to dive off the stage, I would have thought. Anyway, I was extremely careful at my second Chinese New Year function yesterday not to leave the stage, you know, horizontally. You know.
Can I just go back to
Fiji
for a second? Fiji wanted to expel. What would it actually mean for them? Is it just a symbolic gesture, or would it actually mean?
Oh, it depends on the level of expulsion. I mean, there's expulsions and there's suspensions, effectively. There's suspensions and suspensions. I mean, some could include just from ministerial contact groups and from high-level forum meeting. Other could be, you know, much more draconian. I mean, in the end, the decision about whether Fiji returns to democracy is something that Frank Bainimarama controls. If there's no political intent and no goodwill, doesn't matter how much other countries express their displeasure at that, it won't happen. But, I think that Mr. Bainimarama actually will listen to the forum at one level, because it's essentially a collection of his peers. And that's the leadership that we can show. No, it's. I mean, as I say, it depends on the level of the suspension. And that's all the sort of thing we've got to consider tomorrow.
How can they be his peers when he's self-appointed?
Well, they're his peers in terms of Pacific Island leaders. I mean, I think he looks at those countries and, you know, has respect for their views, and probably would personally not like being essentially given a dressing down by them. Okay, thank you very much.